Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for The Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them to save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S. the letter U.com. If you've been listening in on the last few weeks of programs, you'll know we've been focusing on sending your teen off to college and working to launch them successfully during this transition to adulthood. One of the many challenges you may face personally or with your student is the pre-approved credit card application that is sent in the mail or included in a student packet. Today's show focuses on the five things you need to know about credit cards for your own personal knowledge and also for your teaching opportunity with your own family members, including your children. I may also talk a little bit about how debt has affected our stock market lately and how important it is for you to understand how that works in your own lives. One, a credit card is a form of a loan. When you apply for a credit card, you're completing a short form of a loan application. You provide the credit card issuer with your name, address, date of birth or age, your social security number, employment information, residential history, and your level of income. At the bottom of the application, there is a lot of legal boilerplate that says you promise to pay for all the charges that accrue to your card if they decide to issue a card to you. In addition to promising to pay for those charges, you promise to safeguard your credit card. The information on it, such as your account number, expiration date, and security code as well. If you permit someone else to have access to your card, to use your card with your permission, then you are also responsible for the charges and cash advances they may make with your card, whether you know about them in advance or not. The issuer will either accept your application offering you a credit limit amount for your card use, or they will reject your application. The credit limit for your card is the maximum amount for which you can use your card, or the maximum you can borrow from the issuer. If your credit limit amount is $5,000, then you can purchase items with your card that total $5,000 or under during any one billing period. If your billing period begins the 15th of the month and continues until the 14th of the next month, then during that period you can use your card to pay for the credit limit amount within that time period. If you pay your bill off in full for each billing period, then you can begin anew making purchases up to your credit limit amount each billing period. If there are 12 billing periods in a year and you pay off your credit card bill due in full each month, then conceivably you could use your card to pay for $60,000 worth of items or services within a calendar year, which is a lot of shopping. When you receive your card in the mail, a brochure will accompany the card. Read this carefully to make sure you understand the terms of your agreement with the card issuer or lender. In this agreement, it will list information such as the internet rate charged to you if you do not pay your full balance in its entirety. It will also tell you how much the late fee is if you pay after the payment due date. Also, it will tell you if you're charged interest from the moment you make a transaction with your card, or if interest is only charged to you if you do not pay your balance in full each month. Before you apply for a card, investigate the different issuers and their terms online by researching the best credit cards with the lowest interest rates and read their terms before you apply. Not all cards are equal. Even though one may offer you points or discounts on purchases or discounts at the time of purchase when you sign up for the card, that money or that benefit has to come from somewhere. Either it comes from the annual fee you might pay to have that card, or the interest paid by you and other people who don't pay on time, or the late fee that you may have to pay, or the fee charged to vendors for accepting a card. Remember, there is no free anything when it comes to money and services offered. 2, do not apply for a credit card if you do not have a job or a source of income that you can count on. To use a credit card to your benefit, then you must have some savings or live within your means or have a stable source of income via employment. In addition, you must have a budget or expense plan that you've worked out for yourself, where you know you will spend less than you make in order to know you'll have the money to pay off your credit card in full. People who use credit cards successfully use them as a tracking device, where the itemized statement they see each month can tell them the categories where they spend their money. Some use it as a budgetary limiting device by putting a limit on the amount chargeable on the card each billing period, therefore self-limiting the transactions they can make and the money they can spend. Others use them only when they travel as a convenience, when renting cars, booking hotels, making plane reservations, and paying for food and transportation expenses that later they can apply to their expense plan. If you're a student who gets money from mom and dad, then don't apply for a card until you are gainfully employed after you graduate. There will be plenty of time for you to develop a credit history once you have a job. Do not be tempted by the many applications you will see at on-campus events or at the stores you frequent. If anything, start to collect and read those applications so that once it is the right time for you to apply for a card, you will know exactly what features and benefits you want and the rates of interest that are available to you. Many students who get cards use them and build up debt on those cards and then find themselves with a huge amount of debt to deal with once they graduate from school. It is easy to use a card to pay for things because you just swipe a card, sign the slip, and go without thinking about the payments that may be due later on. While you're developing your fledgling money habits, use cash to make transactions so you can remember what you spent your money on. If a debit card system is required on campus, then carry a small notebook and document each transaction you make when you make it so you can see where your money is going and make sure you're adhering to your expense plan. Almost everyone you meet on campus will have to be careful with money, so don't feel any shame about not having money to spend frivolously. 3, only charge on a credit card an amount you can pay off in total each month. It is important to pay off the total balance due each month so you will not have to pay interest on the money due. Interest charge basically increases the purchase price of the goods and services you used when you used your card. Most cards charge interest rates from 16% to 25% annual percentage rate. But the interest is charged monthly and then compounds against you each month you cannot pay off the amount due. Right now, fixed income investments are paying anywhere from 0.5%, that's right, half a percentage point, to 4% on an annual basis, depending on how long the duration is of the investment. If you're paying 16% to 25% on the money you owe, then you're merely digging yourself into a deeper and deeper hole each month. And you're not setting aside money to save. Everyone should have $1,000 in savings for emergencies and then a 6 to 9 month worth of expenses saved in the event that you lose your job and you need to live on that money while you're looking for a new one. If you have a balance on your credit card and you cannot pay it off in full, then stop using your credit cards. Put them in a safe place where only you can find them, and stop using them until you're in a position to fully pay the amount due each month when you use your card. To pay off the balance due, take the total amount due, let's say $1,000 as an example, and divide that by the number of weeks remaining in the year. If there are only 4 months left for the year, then that means there's 16 weeks left for this year. Divide $1,000 by 16, which results in $62.50 per week. And that will tell you how much you need to pay off in order to pay off the full amount. But that's not taking into account the interest that's accumulating on this money and being charged to you over the next 4 months. So probably you will end up having to pay an extra $65 per week to clear up the debt due by year end. 4, if you do not pay off your cards in full each month, then interest is charged and compounded monthly. A lot of people do not understand how credit cards work, especially the part about interest charged. First, make sure you read the document that comes with your card to find out if interest begins the minute you make a transaction, or if it is charged only on the balance you have not paid off each month. For the examples I'm about to give you, we'll assume your billing period is from the 15th of the month through the 14th of the month, and that your payment is due on the 1st of the month. I'm also assuming that the interest rate charged on your account is 16%. On your statement, you will find two important balance numbers. One is usually called minimum balance due, and the other is balance due in full. Minimum balance due is the smallest amount you have to pay to keep your credit card functioning and meet your minimum obligation to the issuer of the card. Usually, if you pay minimum balance due, there is still money owed to your credit card issuer, and that amount is subject to interest charges. How the issuer arrives at minimum balance due is described in the brochure that comes with your credit card. Make sure you know how this is calculated. Balance due in full is the entire balance due on your account. Paying the balance due in full will leave you with a zero balance or no money due on your credit card until the next time you use it, which may be next week or next year or whatever works for you financially. Here are three examples about what happens to your account depending on how your card works. Let's say you buy a jacket that costs $350, including sales tax, on the second day of a 30-day month. For this example, the card you use charges you interest from the day you make the purchase and continues to do so until you pay off the balance, and we will assume you pay it all off at once. $350 times 16%, the annual rate, equals $56 in simple interest. Then we divide it by 360 days per year, which amounts to 16 cents per day in interest. You're charged interest from the day you make the purchase through the payment date, and that is 29 days, totaling $4.51 in interest added to your purchase price. So the $350 jacket now costs $354.51. In this example, this next example, we're using the same $350 jacket, the same interest rate of 16%, but only making the minimum payment, which is $35, or 10% of the amount charged. In this example, interest is not counted from the moment of the transaction, only it is charged on any balance remaining on the account. So if you make the $35 payment on your initial purchase of $350, this leaves you a balance of $315, where you will be charged 16% on your purchase for the next billing cycle. When you receive your next bill, your balance will be $319.20. Including the $4.20 in interest. This time you pay $32 on your balance, the minimum, leaving $287.20. Your next bill arrives, and you now owe $291.03, including $3.83 in interest. You pay the minimum of $29, leaving a balance of $262.03. Your next bill, your balance is $52, including interest of $3.49. Paying the minimum of $27, you find you have a balance left of $238.52. Your subsequent bill includes interest of $3.18 for a total balance due of $241.70. At this point, you realize how much interest you've paid, and you pay off the full amount due. The jacket that originally cost you $350 now has cost you $364.70. Including the interest you've paid on the unpaid balance on your credit card account. If you pay the bill in full when you get it, the jacket that costs $350 still costs $350. You can imagine if you continue to add charges to your unpaid balance, growing the amount into the thousands, how difficult it will be to pay off the debt in full once you start having the interest compounding each month, building on the total amount. If that amount had been $3,500, then the additional interest would have been $147 for a total of $3,647. If the amount had been $35,000 in charges, the amount of interest would have been $1,470. And we're only talking about like four periods here. We're not even talking about a whole year. And that would have totaled $36,470. And keep in mind, interest charged on credit cards is not a tax deductible. It's not like your mortgage interest. So it's basically money that you're adding to the cost of everything you buy. 5, carefully select the credit cards you use. There is no need to have more than 3 credit cards. From the example above, you can see that having a great number of credit cards can only lead you to disaster. Each card has its own set of rules and requirements. Having to know those can be trying. If you're tempted to use each one of them, then you're creating a ton of debt that you will be responsible for each month. Having 1 to 3 cards is sufficient and will meet any needs you may have for convenience and tracking of your transactions. You may want to only use 1 card when you do transactions on the internet. So if there's a data breach, you know which card is affected. Or when you're shopping during the holidays. Also, you'll know you only have 1 bill you have to pay to take care of all of your holiday shopping that you've done. You may use another for travel transactions. Again, if you go on a trip or if you travel a lot for business, you may want 1 card so that you know that those are your deductible travel expenses related to work. You may use 1 for business transactions only, similar to the travel expenses from your work. Just remember, there will be a bill due at the end of the month, and you want to pay it in full. As far as all the action today in the stock market, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that not only has the currency fluctuation situation in China made things worse, but there was a tremendous amount of margin debt. Margin debt is when people borrow against their securities in order to buy more securities. In this case, it appears that a lot of people were reaching to try to get better rates of return, maybe being a little greedy. And what happens is when the market goes down, if the value of the securities in an account with margin debt drops below a certain level, then they have to be able to sell those shares in order to keep their margin account in balance. And once that starts, it can kind of cascade and there can be a waterfall effect where there's more and more selling until finally everything is kind of washed out. It's something to be very cautious about. Fortunately, people can't borrow against their securities and 401ks and IRAs and in a margin basis. Yes, you can take money out to buy your house and to pay for college and other health needs, but not actually borrowing against those actual securities. Be careful about the amount of debt that you have. It can make things very hard in your life if you have too much debt. Anyway, I want to thank you all for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to me, Barbie, at moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember to take care of your money, to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.